You may have seen this item in the news about less than 2 weeks ago. The headline said nearly a dozen Russian and Chinese ships now moving away from Alaska. I'd like to read some quotes from that incident, an article that appeared in the news, ABC News. The article reads, "The nearly dozen Russian and Chinese ships that sailed near Alaskan's Aleutian Islands last week, part of a joint exercise leading the U.S. to deploy warships and aircraft to monitor their formation, are now moving away from the region," according to American officials. In response to the ship's movements near the island chain, four U.S. Navy destroyers operating in the Pacific Ocean had monitored the ship's movements from various distances, one of the U.S. officials said. Both officials stressed that the 11 Russian and Chinese ships remained in international waters and did not sail into U.S. territorial waters, which stretch out 12 miles from the Alaskan coastline. The patrol marked an apparent show of military unity and strength between the two countries. Video posted by Russia's defense ministry on Saturday showed what appeared to be at least 9 vessels sailing in formation and the firing of weapons into the ocean, presumably as part of what is described as an anti-submarine exercise. The Russian defense ministry said that the joint patrol had already covered 2,300 nautical miles in a transit that had taken the Russian and Chinese Navy ships to the southwestern part of the Bering Sea, where they had practiced joint tactical maneuvering, conducted communications training, and carried out helicopter landings and takeoffs from the decks of each other's ships. "I'll let the Chinese and Russians characterize their activities," Pentagon Press Secretary Brigadier General Pat Ryder told reporters on Monday. "What I would say is that NORAD and NORTHCOM monitored their presence." The spokesman for the Chinese embassy in Washington told the Wall Street Journal in a statement over the weekend, "According to the annual cooperation plan between the Chinese and Russian militaries, naval vessels of the two countries have recently conducted joint maritime patrols in relevant waters in the western and northern Pacific regions." Alaskan Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, both Republicans, spoke out against the exercise in statements while reiterating their call for more military funding for their state. Sullivan said, "We have entered a new era of authoritarian aggression led by the dictators in Beijing and Moscow," Alaskan Senator Dan Sullivan said. Interesting event. You may or may not have seen that in the news, but it points to this continuing rise of China and Russia on the world stage that's become almost impossible to ignore. Russia and China have committed to growing an ever closer relationship and in many ways are challenging the United States. So, since it seems not a week goes by without these two powers being in the news in one way or the other, I thought it would be good to consider some of the current news trends in this area and examine how these two nations fit into Bible prophecy, just how Russia and China fit into Bible prophecy in light of what we're currently seeing. First, let's think about the identity of Russia in the Bible. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapters 38 and 39, we find some interesting prophecies concerning Gog and Magog, people believed to have a connection with Russia today. Ezekiel 38, let's read in verse 2 and 3. Ezekiel 38 and verses 2 and 3, where Ezekiel was inspired to write, "Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal." Many Bible scholars conclude that the descendants of these ancient peoples are found in Russia and some of the former Eastern Bloc nations today, where the descendants of these people are found. And a study of genealogy and the prophecies, the peoples mentioned in Ezekiel's prophecy, seems to provide evidence to support that. Historically, the land of Magog was home to the Magogites of Ezekiel's day. And according to the Greek historian Herodotus and the Jewish historian Josephus, the Magogites' descendants can be traced to the Scythians of Roman time. That name comes up throughout history, the Scythians from Roman times. They were a constant problem for the Romans and hailed from a region of southern Russia and the Ukraine, according to Don Phillips in his book, Exploring the Future, Comprehensive Guide to Bible Prophecy. It's interesting that the Russians themselves claim the Scythians, the ancient Scythians, as ancestors. And the descendants of Meshech and Tubal, also mentioned in these verses, can also be traced to the modern-day Russians. Notice Ezekiel 38, verse 15. Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. Speaks of Gog coming out of the far north, which supports some of the external sources identifying the nations described in Ezekiel's prophecy as the modern nations of Russia and some of those former Eastern Bloc countries. What about China? Think about Russia and China. Let's go to Daniel 11 and verse 44. Again, this is just a brief sketch as far as their identities. Daniel 11, and in the middle of this very lengthy prophecy, we'll come back to it a little bit later, but let's read verse 44. We read that news from the east and the north shall trouble him, trouble the king of the north, survived Roman Empire. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. News from the east and from the north will trouble the king of the north, the European-based power, and a massive battle, we're told, is going to follow between these powers. These nations will be to the north and to the east from the point of view of Jerusalem. Prophecies are written primarily from the point of view of Jerusalem looking outward. So to the north and to the east. And this power from the north and the east likely will include an alliance that includes China, Russia, India, and possibly other nations as well, other Eastern nations. Let's read in Revelation 16 and in verse 12. Revelation 16, verse 12 has this statement about the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. The way of the kings from the east. Believe that China will be one of those kings from the east. In March of this year, you may recall, perhaps in a news clip, Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin met for 3 days to strengthen their ties in their friendship. They called an ever closer friendship, the way they referred to it. Xi and Putin have called each other dear friends, and they describe their friendship as having no limits, no limits. Their visit followed when the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for Putin, you may recall, for war crimes in the Ukraine. But despite that, Xi claims to maintain neutrality in the Ukraine conflict, and even has positioned China as a peacemaker. So there is this growing influence that China is trying to exert as a peacemaker around the world. Xi and Putin concluded their visit by issuing a vague, I would call it, and somewhat ominous statement that said this, that change not seen in 100 years is coming. Now, what that change will be, I'm not sure, but time will tell what that change not seen in 100 years will be. So what else does the Bible tell us about future role of these two nations? Well, again, let's think about a few years after America's humiliating withdrawal from Afghanistan. If you recall, almost exactly 2 years ago, August 2021, the geopolitical enemies of the United States have become more bold. We've seen examples of that all around the world. They've become emboldened, sensing weakness in superpower of the United States of America. The U.S. spent 20 years in Afghanistan, finally to be driven out by a backward Taliban, it seems, and it was a very humiliating defeat. This was the group the United States said they vowed to defeat after what happened in 9/11, that we suffered that defeat. As you know, when the U.S. withdrew, it left behind military equipment worth billions of dollars and even piles of cash, all left behind. The Spectator newspaper noted that America's withdrawal will reverberate globally and in a way that emboldens all the wrong people. And we've certainly seen that happen. In a sense, even worse, the United States failed to coordinate that retreat with its ally, leaving many of its allies stranded to evacuate their own people on very short notice. And again, it sent a signal that the United States has lost the will to fight and was kind of running away. And so from the point of view of other nations, it caused many of those nations to ask the question, well, how can we trust and rely on the United States? Since that retreat, Russia, China, and especially Iran have gotten bolder against the United States. You may recall in the South China Sea, China sent a strong warning to the United States after the U.S. sent a warship into waters claimed by China, but the rest of the world says they're international waters. We sent some warships into that water, and China sent warships issuing a warning. And Xi said at that time, China would take all necessary measures to ensure its security. Then there was an incident where a Russian fighter pilot took out a U.S. drone over the Black Sea, and our response to that was very weak. Iran attacked U.S. troops in Syria with a drone strike, causing serious injuries to American soldiers. And again, little or no response to that. And it's become clear as we watch the news that America's enemies have become emboldened by our weakness. Let's read in Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14. After listing a number of blessings for obedience to God, we read this in verse 14. But if you do not obey me, to Israel, and do not observe all these commandments, and then there's a list of curses that would come upon Israel. In verses 19 and 20, we find this statement, I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your hand shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. I will break the pride of your power. Your strength shall be spent in vain. And that seems to be the case so much for the U.S. today, even our military changes in our military, our technology, and our military arsenal becoming less and less of a deterrent to our enemies. The warning of Deuteronomy 28, if we turn there. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, and then verse 25. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, we read, But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then let's read verse 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Because of disobedience, God warned ancient Israel that this would happen. They would be defeated by their enemies, but it seems to be more and more descriptive of the current situation that the U.S. finds itself in on so many fronts, defeated by its enemies. Let's consider for a little bit the world economy and the U.S. economy and on the world scene. How are Russia and China having a hand in that? Well, you may remember it wasn't all that long ago the number of American banks collapsed. The Silicon Valley Signature Bank, large banks both collapsed. The studies show that 186 banks are currently in danger of failing. And then to make what matters worse, the U.S. debt we know is out of control. Many trillions of dollars added to our debt, and our politicians seem unable or unwilling to come to agreements on whatever it would take to stem that increase. That's simply just not happening. Try to fix the problem. Simply aren't fixing it. And then just a few weeks ago, on August 1st, you probably saw this in the news, Fitch Ratings downgraded U.S. government debt from AAA to AA+. And warned that, according to their quoting them, the rating downgrade of the United States reflects the expected fiscal deterioration over the next 3 years, a high and growing general government debt burden, and the erosion of governance. That was written by Fitch Ratings about downgrading our debt, say that over the next 3 years we can expect fiscal deterioration, a high and growing general government debt burden, and the erosion of governance. That's what the U.S. is facing. It's interesting that, if anybody knows French, the word credit comes from a French word meaning belief or faith. And the word credit describes the confidence that a lender has that a borrower will repay the debt, the credit that has been extended to them. But we see a world losing faith in the United States and looking for alternatives when it comes to our economy. In some of their recent meetings, the leaders of China and Russia, and you probably saw this in the news, they were open about their goal to eliminate the U.S. dollar in their trade and pressuring other countries to eliminate the U.S. dollar as a currency of trade. If they're successful by challenging the U.S. dollar as the world's dominant currency, which it still is right now, but losing ground, well, then that is going to have drastic consequences for the U.S. economy and for the strength of our dollar. In Deuteronomy 28, let's read verse 20. Deuteronomy 28, verse 20. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Confusion. To me, it was so interesting to read that because we seem to be in a state of confusion in our leadership, not knowing what to do, how to fix things. Verse 48, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you, to Israel and to Israel today. Verse 52, they shall besiege you at all your gates, until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. I would say that, I mean, we even have in our economy, we have a street named Wall Street that is a symbol of a high and fortified wall. It seems to me that one of those high and fortified walls that are prophesied to come down, of course, has to do with our economy and our dollar, our U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar dominance, I think, is one of those walls. We see nations trying to tear it down. Just read a few headlines about that. This is April 17th of this year from Treasury Secretary. Well, the quote, dollar's dominance at risk, says U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Another one from April of this year, a new global digital currency launched at International Monetary Fund event. Another headline from April, is there a worldwide run on the Bank of the United States of America? This one from April also, China's yuan, their currency, is now the most traded currency in Russia as sanctions knock the U.S. dollar out of the top spot. And one more from March, U.S. dollar's dominance in oil markets may face challenge as Saudis reportedly eye yuan-based sales deal with China. So, moving to Chinese currency instead of the U.S. dollar. All of this will have dramatic effects on the U.S. economy. Let's read in Jeremiah 4, the prophecy here. In Jeremiah 4, verse 22. Jeremiah 4, verse 22 and verse 30. Jeremiah 4, verse 22, "For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children. They have no understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." And there are consequences from that. We read in verse 30, "And when you are plundered, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself with crimson, though you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with paint, in vain you will make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life." And the Bible shows here that the nations Israel believed to be their allies anciently became their enemies. Their lovers became their enemies. But it's also a prophecy for today. Your lovers will despise you and will seek your life. And that seems to be happening. Our allies becoming less and less enamored with us. In a recent trip that made national world headlines, French President Emmanuel Macron, longtime U.S. ally as far as France, visited President Xi in China, and in a statement he declared his aim for the European Union was to pursue its own strategic autonomy by, among other ways, reducing its dependence on the U.S. dollar. France wanting to be dependent on the U.S. dollar. He went further to say that Europe should not get involved in Taiwan if China invades, saying Europe should not get caught up in crises that are not ours. Our allies seem to be withdrawing, abandoning us little by little. And my wife and I saw some of this in Sri Lanka. We were there in 2019. But China is using its growing influence on the world scene to position itself as a peacemaker. It's making inroads in a number of nations around the world, in Africa, in Latin America, other nations, Asian nations as well. China has launched what it calls the Global Security Initiative, the fight against those who would endanger world peace, meaning the United States. And they enter into economic agreements with various nations. For example, Sri Lanka, they agreed to build beautiful seashore complex of shops and buildings and docks and piers, just a beautiful structure, that they would loan Sri Lanka the money to pay for it, with the agreement that Sri Lanka would pay it back in a certain number of years, knowing that Sri Lanka will not be able to do that. Then China will take control of it. They've been doing this in a number of nations, you know, around the world. Another shock for the world was when Saudi Arabia and Iran opened up diplomatic ties. These two historically enemy nations were talking to each other. But you know who initiated those talks? China. China was the intermediary to initiate that. China continued to encroach on the dominance of Western powers, politically, economically, militarily, in some cases by controlling various sea and land gates. There's a couple of other headlines. August of this year, last year, August 16th. Chinese Navy vessel arrives at Sri Lanka port to security concerns from India. Another one from April last year, the deal that shocked the world, inside the China-Solomon Islands security pact. This one from March last year. Chinese investment near the Panama Canal and Straits of Magellan, a major concern for U.S. Southern Command. December, China prepares to set up first military base in the Atlantic. This one in November of 2021, losing strategic control of the Panama Canal to the People's Republic of China. Losing strategic control, Panama Canal, China. China is positioning itself more and more against the United States and taking control of some of these strategic gateways to dominate world trade ultimately. You remember Genesis 22 and verse 17. Genesis 22, verse 17, a promise that God made. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, where God said, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. God promised that, but in recent decades, possession of those gates seem to be lost, losing more and more of that. As a consequence of diminishing U.S. power, we see the world fracturing, breaking up from being a unipolar world with the United States as the sole strategic superpower. That seems to be no longer the case, to a multipolar world with several superpowers, closely, nearly as strong as the United States, or in some cases stronger. China and Russia seem to be moving to fill the void in areas that the United States has abandoned. And the Bible talks about these kings of the beast, kings of the east fighting against the beast power. Let's read a few scriptures in Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. We're familiar with this as a power block that will include a huge army. Revelation 9, verse 14 through 16. When the sixth angel sounds, verse 13, verse 14, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, 200 million. Now with that in mind and that description, read Revelation 16 and verse 12. Revelation 16, verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, that's water, and it was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Again, this describes this power block, and it sounds like an immense army of 200 million. Now we know that another end-time power will be the king of the north. We believe it's going to be a resurrected Roman Empire centered in Europe, and Russian aggression, particularly in the Ukraine, is forcing Europe to arm and to accelerate integrating their military. They see the handwriting on the wall. That rearming of Europe ultimately that has to take place, we know is going to have tragic consequences that will cause a domino effect. Nation after nation leading the world to the brink of self-annihilation, to the point where, you know, Matthew, Christ said that, you know, no flesh would be saved alive unless he intervened. This domino effect that's going to take place, we find described in Daniel 11. So let's turn there. Daniel 11, and begin reading in verse 40. And what you notice, what stands out about these verses is that someone is missing. Let's read Daniel 11, beginning in verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south, I believe perhaps a padre of Arab nations, shall attack him, the king of the north, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots. Now again, from the point of view of Jerusalem. With chariots, horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land. Many nations and many countries shall be overthrown, this domino effect of nation after nation being attacked and overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. So here is this king of the north attacked by the power block known as the king of the south. As a result of this attack, the king of the north will retaliate against that with overwhelming force and enter Israel. Luke 21 talks about when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. That is a great warning sign. But that attack by the king of the north is going to provoke the response in verse 44 and verse 45. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him, the king of the north. Therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. He shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, and he shall come to his end. No one will help him. What is being described here, I think we would likely call it World War III. But who's missing in all of this? Who's missing? You notice that the United States is missing in these prophecies, because we believe that at this time the Israelite descended nations will already have come to a collapse, no longer be power. And Russia, China, nations from the East, and the King of the North will dominate the world at that time and bring the world to the point of World War III. Our world is in a terrible state at this time. We see it deteriorating very rapidly. Of course, that can cause a great deal of worry and anxiety. Because people know what to expect, and yet there's still, well, it's a frightening thing and terrible times that we know are coming as the end of the age approaches. But let's conclude in Luke 21 and verse 9. Luke 21 and verse 9. After we take a look at this rise of Russia and China in prophecy and what the Bible says about those powers, what to expect, what apparently is coming according to Bible prophecy, we are encouraged here in Luke 21 verse 9. Christ said, "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Christ encourages us to not be terrified. There are many promises from God about protecting his faithful people during those coming times. And we'll see some of those in the Bible study, the Psalms of Ascent, which are also prophetic. As you know, David was not only a king of Israel, he was also a prophet. The number of prophecies in those Psalms of Ascent. So as we have been exhorted by Christ, let's be sure to keep watching world events, watching and guarding our spiritual health, and remain faithful to God, trusting him.